El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey, welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I used to write a bunch of weekly columns for a bunch of internet places, and I would use those columns to put forth all sorts of crazy opinions, and then I would come on this show to defend those opinions. But now, I do kind of the same thing. Joining me today, he is my co-host on an Unpops Network podcast called You Don't Even Like This Band. We are currently recording a season about Fleetwood Mac. He also hosts a podcast of his own called Ghoul School. Ladies and gentlemen, Andy Sell. Also joining me, our next guest is also my co-host on an Unpops Network podcast, Conspiracy the Show. Not only that, but we are also in the thick of a rewatch podcast about the TV show Lost. Ladies and gentlemen, Olivia Hydar. It's going to be a great show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. Joining me as co-host this week, my favorite co-host of all, no co-host. Jeff will be back next week. I got a couple of guests who are my co-hosts on other podcasts, so it's like I have two co-hosts this time, which, no thanks, that's too much co-host. Andy Sells here. Andy!
Yep, that's me. Hello, hi, happy Halloween.
Andy is my co-host on You Don't Even Like This Band. We're talking about Fleetwood Mac this season, and it's a barn burner of a season so far. So much fun.
Fucking Mac Attack, baby.
They're the fucking best.
I love Fleetwood Mac so much. Hey, also joining us, that was Olivia Hydar.
Hi, yes, hello, it's me, Fleetwood Mac fan, Olivia Hydar.
Fleetwood Mac's Olivia Hydar.
I should have worn my Fleetwood Mac. I've got a really great Fleetwood Mac thing that I wear. Anyway.
I have a Rumors t-shirt that I just bought at Target.
Ugh, I also have a Rumors shirt. It's like a shirt dress. Nice. It rules.
Yeah, love Fleetwood Mac.
They're the best.
I don't have any Fleetwood Mac apparel, but I really want a Phantasm shirt. And Phantasm is kind of, you know, similar to the album cover of that one Fleetwood Mac album.
Oh, sure it is.
It's true.
Yeah.
So
Phantasm rules. Will you guys be doing a Stevie Nicks thing after Fleetwood Mac?
I don't know.
Like just Stevie Nicks?
Mm-hmm. Stevie Nicks solo.
She's my least favorite member of Shangri-La. Fleetwood Mac.
There's trouble in Shangri-La, guys. We gotta find out about it.
We should have her on the show.
That's a deep cut, too. That's a 2000 Stevie Nicks album.
Yep, that's the, yes.
Should have Olivia on this podcast. So I guess Andy saying he wants a Phantasm shirt makes a good segue into what we're talking about today. Here's the thing, listeners. If you're listening to this the day it comes out, happy Halloween.
Hey.
It's Halloween today. So we're doing kind of a laid-back episode. We're just talking about the best and worst horror movies of 2022. We're not doing a list cast, but I am thinking of bringing list cast back now that we got this fancy studio I need to pay for. Mm. But we're just doing it casual. Just talking about movies that, maybe you want to watch some of them tonight while you hand out candy to the kids.
Why did you?
Absolutely.
Yes, I was like, you said that like you're judging them for participating in the holiday.
Oh, you got all these kids coming to your house. Nothing suspicious about that.
You're like a Halloween Scrooge.
You think you're so fucking cool handing out candy to trick-or-treaters on Halloween, you fucking square.
Oh, you turn your porch light on and kids come flocking. Try it on a night that's not Halloween.
You're part of the system, man.
So, yeah, we
sell out.
We have three bona fide horror movie fans here to tell you about horror movies that came out this year that you should maybe watch. What should we talk about first?
I don't know. The biggest one this year, I've got it as my background, was Nope. I don't know if people think of that as a horror movie. after having seen it, but it's definitely billed as a horror movie.
It's 100% a horror movie.
Yeah. It's thriller action is like, I don't know. I love it. It's my favorite movie of the year. I just got to put my cards on the table.
I feel like
I love it.
I respect that. And I feel like up front, though, we should probably decide how in depth we're going to get when talking about these, because there are a lot of movies on this list that have kind of big reveals in them. And if you don't know them going in.
Well, yeah, we don't want to spoil these movies for people.
No.
I think we can talk about having liked them without going through the plot beat by beat. We have about
25
movies listed, so I don't know that we're going to spend like...
And we're probably not going to talk about all 25.
But also, I don't think we need to go that deep into it. But Nope was great.
Yeah, Nope was great. And I like... Yeah. Here's the thing, though, is that it's a difficult movie to talk about without spoiling something if you haven't seen it, and
they
were very good about keeping what the movie is actually about under wraps, more or less. And so when you get it, for me personally, when I got what it was, I was like, there was an immediate one sentence synopsis that came into my head, and I was like, this was the pitch for this. And you know what, on paper, I fucking adore that pitch. And I liked the movie. I didn't dislike it. I thought the third act was kind of a little...
Oh, see, and that's the part that I... Like, for me, it's the entire climax. It's just a thing that I want to rewatch over and over again.
You know?
So we don't want to get into that too much. But I just think it's great. I have no notes. It's the kind of movie that I always am excited to see get made, especially on this scale. I just am always so happy.
Yeah, I definitely, its ambition is really admirable. I think the cast is incredible.
Cast is great.
I think Kaluuya and Kiki Palmer are both amazing together.
It's such a good sibling movie. their sibling relationship is so wonderful.
Yeah, and it's always a treat to see Michael Wincott. I think he's
Michael Wincott killing it.
Yeah.
It's not a real spoiler to say that he does a spoken word rendition of the Purple People Eater, and I was just rolling. It's so funny.
Yeah.
It's one of the best things ever. Yeah. It's so dramatic.
Yeah. And you're right that the trailer does not, like, none of the trailers really gave away what it was about. Like, I don't remember a movie since maybe Sorry to Bother You that did such a good job of keeping what the movie was about under wraps.
Well, I mean, I would say that that's a good partial segue. We don't have to total segue to Barbarian, had a similar thing where its marketing was basically, don't watch this trailer.
Yeah.
don't know anything.
I'll say this too about both of these movies, and I guess Sorry to Bother You as well, is that it gives you just a little bit enough, like, because the movie is about more than what, you know, there's layers to it. I think this is true of both Nope and Barbarian. So they can kind of let a little bit out of the bag so that you know, okay, well, vaguely, I get an idea it's about this. This is the basic, this is the world we're working with. But there's another reveal underneath that in both the case of Barbarian and I think it's less crucial in Barbarian than Nope.
Right.
But in Nope, it's one of those where it's like, you just like smack your forehead, you know, you're like, oh, duh, of course, that's incredible. And in Barbarian, I watched the trailer. So I saw the trailer before going in. So I was like, well, I have a little bit of suspicion. And even I was like, wow, okay. And I've been telling people, don't know anything about it. Just fire it up.
Yeah.
And Barbarian, I think, is a great time. I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun to watch. But my big problem with Barbarian was that I kind of wanted it to keep getting wilder. Yeah. Like, there's a point where it kind of plateaus at wildness. And I just wanted them to keep pushing. And what it is, I think, is totally fun. I really enjoyed it. And I think people should watch it without listening to us yammer on about it. But I do kind of wish it would have just a little bit more.
Yeah.
Is that one that's streaming yet?
It just came to HBO Max.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I'll probably watch that again.
I think it's funny that both of these movies have a lot in common in that they're both written and directed by guys more known for comedy.
Yes,
I mean, Jordan Peele obviously is more into horror now. I will say this about Nope as well, is that like after Us and his Twilight Zone series, I was kind of starting to be like, okay.
See, I love Us.
I didn't, think Us starts out with so much promise. And
I didn't mind the Twilight
Zone
series. I feel like I must have been the only person who didn't mind.
I didn't dislike it. I had no problems. It never hooked me enough to watch the whole series.
Yeah,
I thought but that's the case with a lot of streaming things. Like,
I didn't think it understood the assignment, as the kids say. But Nope got me back on board with Jordan Peele in a lot of ways. It's so difficult to talk about. Even that little side subplot thing with you know what I'm talking about.
Everybody's heard about some of these Gordy and some of this shit. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry the movie came out in July. I'm not trying to spoil. It's not spoiling the movie to say that there's a monkey called Gordy in it, and it literally scared my friend so bad that he got sick and had to leave the drive-in theater.
Wow.
That's great.
And so I would say it's rather an effective horror scene.
It's super effective. And it made me be like, well, now I want this movie too.
Yeah. And I got the Blu-ray, the Steelbook, and one of the deleted scenes is that whole scene with the motion capture actor, Terry Notary.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, now I have to buy the
it's
Blu-ray.
It's terrifying. It's still scary. Because he is so scary, that guy.
Yeah.
Like, Terry Notary is, like, he's such a, like, he seems like a chap. I'm sure he's very friendly. But, like, on screen, he is so terrifying.
Wow.
Should we talk about one that just came out that people could enjoy at home from the comfort of your couch if you are a Shudder subscriber?
There's a bunch of those on here.
There's a bunch. But VHS 99 came out.
Hell yeah.
Recently, and I have loved every VHS movie. I even liked VHS Viral. I know people hate that one, but I fucking loved Viral. I like them all. And I watched VHS 99 last night, and it's great. It's so much fun.
I'll say this.
Andy, you've got things to say.
I love Viral. I always feel like I'm in the minority with that. I always tell people, like, I really like Viral. People are like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I'm like, guess what? I think Viral's better than 2. I think Viral is more consistent than 1. I think 1 and 2 both have...
Consistently bad.
I think what people think is so bad about it.
I don't either. That's the part when people are like, we don't like the one with the magician and the cape. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. That's great.
I didn't like that one. I just didn't like it. I mean, I don't know what to tell you guys. But, like, I don't think we should have a whole team time
on we don't need to have a fight. We don't need to have a fight about it. I'm just saying...
But I would like to say that I... Like, just so that my point of view is represented here, is that I thought it, so I just did not like any
this
of
is
them.
A
and I watched
pro
them all
viral
in the last
panel.
Week and a half.
Yeah. Yeah. You've been outvoted, Olivia. Sorry.
That's fine. I understand. And, like, I think it's cool that you guys would have defended it, but it just didn't work for me. Yeah. And I've been watching a bunch of these things in a row. And, like,
but also, why focus on the one that people like the least? When we could talk about all the other ones that people like so much. Andy, what did you think of VHS? I'm always, my first question upon watching a horror movie is, what did Andy think?
Oh, gosh. I liked it. I didn't love it. I think 94 spoiled me. I loved VHS 94 so much.
Yeah, 94 is really good.
That, and I think it's my favorite of the VHS series, but that 99, I came in, also I had seen Deadstream by the time I watched 99, so I came in expecting huge things from it, and I think that was a little unfair, because I think some of the segments suffer from the same problem that the segments in 2 do for me, which is that they offer a lot of promise and then just kind of don't go where they can go with them. But I loved the To Hell and Back segment is like
I wish the Hell one is.
I wish that I was a whole movie unto itself.
The Hell one is great.
Looks great. Yeah. The action is great. God, I love that. It probably reminded me the most of the cult segment, which to me is like the best VHS
absolutely
segment
for me, at least.
Yeah,
Safe Haven from 2.
Yeah.
I don't know, Andy, if I feel like you probably are not a fan.
Of Safe Haven?
Yeah.
No, I love it. That's my favorite segment in two.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the best segment.
It's the best segment in two. Yeah. It might be like near the top in the series.
I just can't think of
the Ratma segment. That one might be.
Ratma is good. I mean, Ratma is great. I love 94, but 94, like, my whole thing about 99 is that I don't have, there's no segment that bothers me that I find boring or uninteresting at all. Like, whereas with every single other one, there is at least one or like most, usually two, that are just kind of like, oh, this is fine or outright bad. And that's what I love about 99 is that I just feel like it's extremely consistent. I like every single one at least was a lot of fun to watch. Like, yeah. And I don't usually, like, that's not always the case with any anthology, but like, you know, there's the, like the Aussies dungeon one was a lot of fun. And I like the whole, sorority one has a really cool EC Comics kind of vibe to it that I really dug. So yeah, I don't know. And there's so much goo. There's so many puppets. I just love that. I think that's cool. To do in horror.
I think it captured 1999 better than VHS 94 captured 1994. 1994 is not that memorable of a year to me.
Right. Yeah. It was a weird one to start with.
Yeah. But like,
I was trying to think of what horror milestone there would even be in 94.
Yeah. Like Scream maybe?
No, Scream was 96. No,
yeah.
New Nightmare was 95.
Right.
94 is a tricky year.
I mean, 94 year has like In the Mouth of Madness, but I don't think this is like what that's not what it's riffing on. So, you know, whereas 99, like it is clearly, it's like, the Hell one involves a millennium cult and, you know, 99 Blair Witch came out and that's the found footage, you know, not the birth, but like,
I really wanted a segment from inside the mosh pit at Limp Bizkit's set at Woodstock.
Yeah.
Well, you should write that. We should make our own found footage anthology horror movie.
Yes. That happens at music festivals.
Yeah.
That would be interesting. I would definitely watch that at least, if not help with it.
Yeah, because that's the beauty, right? Anyone can do it. Yeah, we can't use the title VH. Yeah. We can't use the name VHS, but get some friends, go do a thing. Fuck it.
Speaking of that, if they're hanging on to VHS as the franchise name, are they going to keep being able to do the years?
Going backwards. The next one is 85.
Because it would have been funny if the next one was like DVD 2000.
I want them to that's what I wanted, like with VHS Viral. Like, why not just call it Viral? I mean,
Vine, because of 2014.
SEOs, you gotta keep your SEO clean is the problem. So they'll never drop VHS. VHS Mini DV.
they could do SVHS or VHS C.
They tried to do that. I think in Europe, VHS 2 was called SVHS. That was at least an original name for it.
Laser disc.
That would be great. Yeah, you got to flip it over. You got side one, side two.
I'm going to make one called Super 8. Oh, wait. Fuck.
God damn it.
Fuck. Damn it, JJ.
Super 16.
8mm.
Nope is...
Ah, damn
nope,
it, 8mm.
nope out Super 8, Super 8, I will say. In a lot of ways.
Yeah, it does.
Spielberg-wise, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
And it gives us a more... It's not just a vague Spielberg reference. It's a very specific Spielberg reference.
Mm-hmm. So, what movie do we want to talk about next?
Well,
Andy, you pick, Andy, you pick one.
Sorry. I'm too excited. I'll calm down, I promise.
But you haven't.
It's okay.
You haven't picked one yet, so.
Well, since we're on the subject of anthology found footage horror from the past and the 90s specifically, have either of you seen Out There Halloween Megatape yet?
No, that's.
I'd never even heard of that one before you put it on the notes.
That's the sequel to the.
The WNUF Halloween special.
Yeah. Me and the producer of that got in a fight on Twitter about whether Barry Bonds' home run record should count.
Oh, my God.
But it's fine. We got over it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. Well, this will be brief then.
He seems like a good dude. It's
No. I mean, I just the since I neither of you have seen the movie, It's great. It takes exactly what I loved about WNUF Halloween Special and applies it to the early to mid 90s. And
but what is, pretend that I don't know anything about.
Oh, so, you haven't seen WNUF Halloween Special.
I haven't heard of that either.
The WNUF Halloween Special is probably my favorite found footage movie, and it is directed by Chris LaMartina, and it's written by him and Jimmy George. And it's basically like, the premise is, imagine there was a local news affiliate, like one of the Channel 7 or Channel 8 or whatever, and they did a Halloween broadcast on Halloween night, and somebody just taped it right off the air with their VCR. Mm-hmm. And this tape then got passed around. You know, it's like a secret tape thing. Bootleg. And the idea is that it's just taped off of TV with commercials and a news broadcast, and then the news station's Halloween special of their one of their journalists, one of their reporters, investigating a reportedly local, a reportedly haunted house in the area. And it's just, they nail it. It's from 1980. The idea is it's from 1987. It was shot in like 2012, 2013.
And it's got commercials.
Yeah. So it's like taped off the air 80s commercials that they all made. These are originals that they made. And then Out There Halloween Megatape is that, but it's in the 90s. And it's actually the first part, I think, takes place in 94, maybe. And it's like a daytime talk show, like a Ricky Lake analog.
Oh, wow.
And then after that is like a sightings or encounters type TV show that takes place like 2 years later or a year later or something. And it's the same stuff, 90s commercials that you would see in Halloween for fake products and fake movies. And it's terrific.
I think I'm going to watch that tonight.
Yeah.
Tonight.
That sounds cool. I'll definitely watch that by Halloween.
Yeah.
I'll probably watch both
the first
of those,
one's great.
Because I'm on a real found footage kick.
And I should issue a correction. I believe the person I argued about Barry Bonds with was the producer of Found Footage 3D. Not.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a different. Yeah.
Yeah. Different movie.
Yeah, I've not heard of that. I've heard of Found Footage 3D. Yeah, but I don't know who made it.
It's funny. I like it.
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah, Out There Halloween Megatape.
Unfortunately, I think the only way to see Out There Halloween Megatape right now is through the physical copies that you can order on DVD. But WNUF is streaming somewhere.
Okay.
I think
maybe. Who knows?
Used to be on Shudder.
WNUF, I could probably... I mean, it's probably on Daily Motion. I mean...
Probably.
Or something.
What
I don't know.
On Daily Motion?
That's exactly. What isn't?
Olivia, what do you want to talk about next?
I don't know. I mean, do we want to talk about Halloween Ends, or do we want to talk about something other than Halloween Ends?
Let's talk about Halloween Ends. I wrote... if nothing else, it's a good way for me to... plug once again that I did launch a Substack recently, adamtoddbrown.substack.com. So if you liked when I was writing all the time, I'm writing all the time again. So go read that. Everything's free for right now. I'll charge you for it soon. But I almost never write like movie reviews or articles about movies or anything. And I had to write about Halloween Ends.
Yeah.
It felt like a comedy to me.
It's got a tone issue. I'll say that.
It felt, there were scenes in that movie. Man, there's a scene where this fucking kid who's Michael Myers in training or whatever the fuck goes back to Michael Myers' cave and is like, I demand answers. And it's like, this guy hasn't talked in 40 years. And they just like wrestle around a little bit. And it is some of the funniest shit I've ever seen. It looked like a scene out of the Scary Movie franchise. Like, Halloween Ends is a fucking buddy cop comedy.
It's like when Regina Hall's wrestled the ring girl in Scary Movie 3.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to be... I don't think this is a mystery or a surprise to anybody I don't like any of the David Gordon Green Halloween movies. I think that they're all bad.
I haven't either, yeah.
I liked Halloween Ends in so much as it's like when I was done with it, I was like, well, it did a bunch of things I wasn't expecting it to do. And hey, the good news is I never have to watch another Halloween movie directed by David Gordon Green.
Yeah. Now you just have to watch an Exorcist movie directed by
David Gordon. I mean, I'm not going to watch. I'm just not going to go.
I'm going to because I have to. I have to see how, like, Satan is not the real evil. It's generational trauma. Like,
I can't wait to watch them exorcise her by yelling, "Evil dies tonight."
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, like, I didn't, like, the Halloween 2018 I thought was fine. I did not hate it at all, and I don't hate Halloween Ends, and I don't hate Halloween Kills because they are weird. That is the saving grace of both of these movies, is that they are very strange entries in a long-running horror franchise.
But
that doesn't mean I don't think any of it works. Yeah. I just just think it's weird. Well, that and
happens. The thing is too is that it's like I agree they're weird, but in the ways that they're weird, I don't think they're weird enough, except for maybe Halloween
Ends. I agree with that. But that also kind of makes it weirder.
Yeah, but what I don't like, though, are the people, the discourse about it, and the people online being like, well, I liked it because it was ambitious. And it's like, yeah, well, then how do you feel about Halloween Resurrection, Halloween 6, and Rob Zombie's Halloween 2? Because all three of those movies...
Rob Zombie's Halloween 2 is a masterpiece.
I fucking love it. Yeah, I haven't really come around on that movie. I love it a lot.
Both Rob Zombie Halloween movies so much.
Yeah, I think that's the come around to be the general consensus now, especially after these. But like, Andy, I just don't go on Twitter. I don't engage with the it's great. I recommend it.
Yeah,
the discourse sucks.
I really need to just stop.
But like, it's so funny because they are so weird, but also trying to be a mainstream successful franchise. And that is what I mean when I say it kind of makes it weirder.
Well, Halloween Ends
is such this misshapen thing.
Halloween Ends in particular is it's trying to do so many different movies. It's like the references in that movie are, it's like Son of Frankenstein, Ghost of Frankenstein, Psycho 2, Don't Go in the House, like
Halloween 2,
Friday the 13th, 5, like Heather's Badlands, basically.
Yeah.
Like, it's just and
David Lynch.
Much. Yeah. Like, yeah. I was calling it Twin Peaks Myers Walk with Me for a second.
The scene.
Weird. Really weird idea.
Yeah.
The scene where that group of high school band toughs.
Oh my God.
Throws Michael Myers 2.0 off that bridge is also one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
It was very funny.
Bullying is bad, but that bullying was good.
His name is Corey. I said this to you, Adam, and I can't remember if you agreed, but I think the problem is that his name is Corey, is like one of the biggest problems, because he's supposed to be the new Michael Myers, and if Michael Myers was named Corey, Halloween wouldn't have succeeded.
Yeah, you can't.
So it has to be a name that would make a movie succeed in a weird meta way.
To be fair, in a weirder meta way, it is kind of the name that you would have of one of the lesser slasher movies of the early 80s, which were all, let's face it, Halloween knockoffs.
Well, so this of course, could be Halloween a meta.
This is a meta commentary on how Corey wants to be the Michael Myers knockoff.
But, like, it's also a meta commentary on, like, a dozen other things that it's jacking off on, dude.
That's the thing, is it's trying to do everything so that you can't pinpoint one thing that it's doing wrong.
And then it makes that makes all the characters seem like insane people.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, every single person.
Laurie Strode is like a QAnon fucking drag brunch protester, anti-vaxxer in this movie.
And here's the thing, it's like, all the things people are mad at her about in that movie are valid. Like, they're right. Leave that fucking guy alone. Like, why do you come get me?
She's fucking fascist.
When we're introduced to her, when we're reintroduced to her in Halloween 2018, she has been living in fear for the last 40 years or whatever.
Over what?
Oh, because that... Right, no, but like, this is what I'm saying. So Michael Myers has been in prison for 40 years. Yeah. And she has been living in fear the entire time. And then Michael Myers escapes, kills her daughter and her daughter's husband, and almost kills her. She tries to kill him twice, and he survives and is on the loose. And now she's, like, well-adjusted and living in the suburbs and has a nice haircut.
She's given up all of her guns, and she's baking pies. And you're like...
okay, like, Jamie Lee Curtis is great. I'll watch her do basically anything. But this doesn't make the character make sense.
I'll tell you where that movie fucking blew it for me. The first of this Halloween trilogy.
Yeah.
There's a scene. They have that island in their kitchen that acts as, like, a route to get to the basement.
Right.
And we see earlier in the movie that there's just a button that you can push to open that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a scene where... they're, like, hiding down there, and that thing is closing, and Michael Myers walks in the kitchen, and he starts, like, trying to move that thing by force.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been so great if he just stopped, turned around, and hit that fucking button.
Because
that would have been so rad.
Because that's what Michael Myers does.
Yeah.
He does bits.
He's not Jason. He's not Jason. He's clever.
He's got a personality.
Yeah.
That would have been
he dresses up as Bob the Ghost in the first Halloween. He puts the fucking glasses. He cuts holes in the sheet. He puts the glasses over him.
He likes goof-em-ups.
That legitimately is where that movie lost me. It's like, how do you not? That's so obvious. Just
he has no personality in these. It's so weird. What a weird movie.
I will say that there are little moments of Michael Myers' personality in all of these films that I like when he drops the teeth over the bathroom stall, and then when he's in Halloween Kills, my favorite is when he's just taking every knife in the kitchen out and putting them in that guy.
That's great.
And I think James Jude Courtney does a good job with the character, but these movies are a fucking disaster. And I'm just glad they're done.
Me too. I am legitimately, like, it's going to be a nightmare, their Exorcist movie. I think it's going to be so funny to watch.
Yeah. I tell you what, I will see it literally just because Ellen Burstyn's in it, and that's the only reason.
Yeah.
It's the only reason.
It's going to be cool. Like, Juice, it's going to be so stupid.
Sarah. Juice by Sarah. That's a Requiem for a Dream reference. Ellen Burstyn was in that. Let's talk about a movie I liked and that I know Andy liked and that Olivia seems reluctant to even watch. Pearl. Oh, God.
This is probably at press time. This is my favorite movie of the year, I think.
It's good. I liked it so much better than X.
I didn't really like X.
Okay. Well, neither did I.
Yeah.
But I also have not liked basically any Ty West movie ever.
Oh, okay. See, my thing with Ty West is I like The Roost a lot. I like Trigger Man a lot. I love House of the Devil, and I love The Innkeepers, and I do not like anything he's done since.
I don't like The Innkeepers.
Innkeepers. Yeah. I didn't really like House of the Devil. House of the Devil,
I think, is fine.
I like The Sacrament, sorta.
I don't like The Sacrament.
Just because I'm a big Jonestown head.
Yeah,
we did an episode
about that.
I've done about 15 episodes.
Yeah, but
about
one that I was on. That's the one I care about. Yeah.
My favorite thing he's done was his segment in the first VHS, which I thought was maybe my
least favorite thing he's done.
I mean, I don't think it's very good.
Which segment was his?
His was the one where they're on the road trip and like then they get killed. Her girlfriend kills her husband.
Yeah.
This is my problem with Ty West is that no matter what ideas he's had recently and how good they are, the film, and this is especially the case in X for me, it comes across as like, oh, you're just a bro. And this isn't like you're trying to think about bigger things, but you don't know how.
Yeah.
And there's like certain themes that are really compelling, but then they're reduced to like pretty
He seems a very shallow filmmaker to me.
Yes,
that's
exactly
why I've never really cared for him.
And then in X, I was like, oh, I might be wrong about you. Or not X, Pearl. When I watched Pearl, I was like, oh, I might be wrong about you. Pearl is, I think, his best movie, hands down, no contest.
It's his best movie by far.
Yeah. And
I mean, I'm going to watch it because I'm kind of a completionist in general.
You're
but like,
gonna like
I just
it,
don't
though.
Want to.
I think you're actually going to like it a lot.
I might. I never go in. You know, as much as whenever I say, like, I don't want to see a movie or something, and I watch, like, I always go into a movie wanting to enjoy it, yeah, basically.
Same.
And, you know, sometimes there are higher obstacles to overcome than others. But, like, I always try to have an open mind, and I will watch Pearl with an open mind. I just hated X. I really thought it was just a bad slasher movie.
I don't want to give too much about Pearl away, but I will say that it kind of lends itself as a segue to another movie that I don't think Andy has seen, but that I know Olivia and I both liked a whole lot. There's a very extended monologue in Pearl that have talked about a lot. There's also a very extended monologue in the Rebecca Hall juggernaut Resurrection.
Okay. Can
the
I just got to about the halfway point of that movie because it just hit Shudder, I think, today.
Oh, really?
So I started watching it today, and I'm like a little bit past that monologue, and here's the difference. I think that Pearl earns the Mia Goth monologue. I do not think Resurrection earns this monologue.
I disagree with that. Oh, you 100%.
That's because you haven't.
You have to finish watching the film before we can have that discussion.
I'm going to finish. This is the thing. This is why I'm reluctant to talk about it. I'm going to finish the film.
It's. I don't understand how you cannot. Like, it just is so good.
And it's such a good monologue, too. And the reaction to it.
I laughed my fucking ass off when that reveal happened.
Great, great
reaction. I laughed, and that is not what that movie wanted me to do.
Yes, it did. It absolutely wanted you to laugh at that girl's question. That's why it was there. Like, how could you not?
No, it's the girl's funny. The reaction. Yes, I was laughing before the reaction.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I was laughing, but I was definitely like, "Oh, this is wild."
Yeah,
I don't want to say, you know, we have to dance around the subject of the monologue because that's part of the fun of the movie is unveiling this relationship. But Resurrection, it rules. It's got a great performance from Rebecca Hall and Tim Roth playing the devil.
Tim Roth is
playing
Tim
a
Roth
goblin king
as,
in a fairy tale.
Tim Roth is Tim Roth as fuck in this movie.
This movie, I was like, okay, I get it. I get what we're doing here. It's the thing that everybody's trying to do now. It's the slow burn, sometimes tedious kind of like character study. It was doing it better than I think most movies now, especially horror that are trying to do it.
Will you just watch the movie?
I'm just trying to tell you. Then Tim Roth appeared, and I was like, "Oh, I am 100% into whatever the fuck is going on with this guy."
Yeah, I mean, he's got such energy, and Rebecca Hall. I mean, just the fact that he appears on screen, and Rebecca Hall, who has been up until this point this type A, totally in control lady, just has a total nervous breakdown at the very sight of Tim Roth in like sandals, like so casual and like not giving a shit about it. It's like this perfect Tim Roth thing that he's been doing lately where he's just the chillest monster in the world. And so, I love it.
I should say it's unfair then for me to say it doesn't earn it. It's just that I just loved Pearl so much.
I know you.
And Resurrection, okay.
It's a different movie.
I'm going to finish it.
It's not a competition. They can both have good monologues.
No,
you know?
I know. It's just that you used Pearl to segue, and I was like, oh, I'm still holding
on to my
feelings.
I'll watch Pearl. I will watch Pearl. Look, it's not going to not happen.
Pearl is Ty West making a Douglas Sirk movie.
I've heard about the character as the psychological as I understand what it is. I'm not, I don't have unfair expectations. It just is low on my list of things to get to. I got to finish these Paranormal Activity movies. I'm almost done. I'm in the ones that I haven't seen.
Oh, which ones haven't you seen?
I hadn't seen anyone past four, so I just watched the marked ones, which rules.
The marked ones? Oh, yeah, Marked Ones is terrific. I love that.
Great movie.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen Ghost Dimension or
Next
of Kin, the new one. Yeah. So I'm looking forward.
I like Ghost Dimension.
Really?
Yeah, I know a lot of people don't, but I like it. Dan Gill is in it. Dan Gill is
It's the one that I was not, that I'm just not looking forward to, because at least the marketing, it's just, there's so much CGI in the marketing, it just blows me out. But anyway, it didn't come out this year.
No, it sure didn't.
But Hellraiser 2022 did.
I still haven't seen it.
You haven't?
No.
I thought for sure you'd watch it.
I know. I like the guy's other stuff, but I've been so busy. I just haven't. It's football season again.
Yeah. I think I've watched more new horror movies this month than I normally do in an October. There's just so much new horror stuff out in October this year that it's like, shit, I haven't been watching, doing a lot of my usual October, like rewatching favorites viewing. It's mostly been new stuff. But I liked a lot of the new Hellraiser, and then a lot of it fell short for me.
Yeah, same. I think that is fair. I liked it, but like I just kind of like the vibe that it's throwing out. But like it's obviously not as good as the first two, but like nothing was ever going to be. And so I don't even like to compare it.
Yeah, it's not even about comparing to me necessarily. It's about, you know, taking on the, I don't want to say the mantle, but like the tone, you know, it's like it's like the edited for TV Hellraiser. It's like the soft core. I definitely understand that.
I think it's got a lot of good R-rated stuff, just different than what it. It's because like Bruckner has a little bit of a colder, more sterile aesthetic, which is what I like about like the Night House and the Ritual.
See, I like the Ritual, and I did not like the Night House.
Oh, well, the Night House was I love the Night House.
Yeah,
I like the Night House. Yeah,
I don't want to use the word hated, but I was not a fan.
Oh, see, yeah, it just everything that it was doing really worked for me. But he's got this very sterile aesthetic, which is kind of at odds with Clive Barker, who's a little more wet and sticky.
Yeah, Clive Barker likes the fluids, you know.
Yeah, he's perverted, and that's cool. But like, and I don't think David Bruckner is like super perverted, which is fine. Again, like these are not judgment calls on these people. It's just that's why they're not natural fits.
Yeah.
But he's really good at the hell stuff. Like I love his, because he's so good at architecture that I really love his like hell transformations.
Yeah, I like
that's what
the
I like
van.
Him primarily as an architect. Architect, first and foremost.
Well, no, I mean like architecture horror is kind of what I think of when I think of him.
When he was doing the stuff that played to his strengths, I did like it.
That's what I'm saying.
I liked a number of the Cenobite designs, even though they felt a little dry. But
and Jamie Alexander is really good.
Jamie Clayton.
Jamie Clayton.
Actually. Yeah, yeah. I think she's terrific in that role. She's just so good.
She kills it.
Yeah, I don't like a lot of the dialogue they gave her, but she did a really good job with it. The van sequence is great. And then the architecture at the end, the mansion.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, where was this the whole rest of the movie? Like, this is what I want. This is the stuff that's really working here.
I was really on board with the main character just because I really think she's like really cute. And so I was just like, you know what? I want to watch you be messy and ruin people's lives. I'm into this.
Yeah, I kind of liked her because, again, that's her typical Hellraiser like protagonist, quote unquote.
Yeah, fucked up prison. Yeah,
but the cast around her just felt a little too, I don't know, pretty slasher cast to me.
Some of it was fine, but I like it. It mixed, you know.
Yeah, it's a soft recommend.
Andy, you not Andy. Sorry, Andy.
That's okay. I get called Adam a lot.
Adam, did you see Moloch?
No. I did not.
Because that popped up on Andy's list.
I saw
Andy,
that.
You like Moloch.
I did, yeah.
Moloch rules.
Yeah, Moloch's great.
Highly recommend Moloch.
Yeah, yeah.
I have not seen it.
It's one of those under-the-radar releases that's like...
Yeah, it's a Shudder, but it's... And it's like Norwegian, but it's multilingual. Or is it Dutch? I think it's Dutch. And the main actress, I just think, is fucking great.
She's great. Her character's great.
Yeah.
She's actually, there's kind of a similar thing going on with her as Rebecca Hall in Resurrection.
Sure. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Similar vibes. I wanted to get Sally Harmson is the actress's name. But like, I just found her performance super impressive because she does a lot of very emotional scenes. Again, like thinking of Rebecca Hall in Resurrection. But she does these emotional scenes in two languages, sometimes at the same time. And it's really fucking impressive and like really difficult to pull off. And I loved her performance. And that movie goes balls to the wall at certain points that really were very charming. You know, like it has moments where like it kind of goes heavy metal. And I was really into it.
Yeah, yeah. And there were a few moments where I kind of wished it would go a little further, but it's also like, that's not the game that it's playing. So
no, it's very vibey. Like it's mostly a good vibe. And then with punctuations of, like, you know, the titles are one of those, the title with heavy metal music. Yeah. It fucking rules anyway.
Yeah.
Did either of you see Fresh on Hulu?
I haven't.
I started it, and then it was like one of those things I started before I had to do something, and then I had to leave. And I just haven't been in the mood to go back to it.
Like Resurrection, you gotta finish Resurrection.
Well, yeah,
you have to finish Fresh too. It's
and
so
finish
fucking
Fresh.
Good.
The reason I haven't finished Resurrection is because I had to stop it so we could record this podcast. I was literally watching it when I had to get on this call. And you know what I'll do? I'll watch Resurrection and then immediately afterwards I'll finish Fresh.
I loved Fresh.
I liked Fresh and I felt like I liked where it was going. And it's one of those things where it's like, okay, this is definitely going
somewhere. How far did you get into it? Because it's not Fresh has like a 30-minute basically cold open.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm about like 20 minutes in.
Okay, so say, yeah, you're not far enough in.
Pitch me on Fresh. On Fresh, I want to know.
Sebastian Stan plays a cannibal, basically, and Daisy Edgar Jones is a woman who is kidnapped by him, and it basically turns into a rescue film where her friend who works at this bar with her, or I don't remember. I might have gotten that part wrong, but her friend is suspicious of this date that she went on and ends up going to try and rescue her. And there's a thing that happens at the end that I wish we could talk about. I think it's me and Caitlin Cutt fought about it. Like, I thought it was one of the most brilliant things I've seen in a movie, and she disagreed. But I think people in general liked Fresh a lot. The performances, Sebastian Stan is insane in that movie.
He's a good actor. I really like him.
He's a really good actor.
He was in a Shirley Jackson adaptation, We Have Always Lived in the Castle, and I really liked him in that.
And
he was also really good in Logan Lucky.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
As the race car driver.
Yeah, the ending of Fresh is really great. It pays off really fucking hard.
Okay.
It's a good movie. I don't want to give away too much about it.
I mean, both that and Barbarian have a thing going on with the guy at the beginning who gives you, like, I don't know, is he a problem or is he not vibes?
Sure.
Know? Oh, so you don't even know if Sebastian Stan's a problem yet? You haven't even started watching the movie.
I haven't got to the part where you know he's a problem yet. What? I mean, I suspect he's a problem, but they haven't revealed anything.
There's only two people in the fucking credits. One of them's going to be a problem.
good point.
What should we talk about next? I feel like we should keep it to good stuff now, because we should talk about something people can watch at home tonight, since we're getting down near the end here.
Sure.
Well, I know what that's going to be for me. There was like, what are you going to recommend somebody watch on Halloween night? There's one movie on this list that stands out to me, and that is Deadstream.
I haven't seen this yet, but it looks interesting.
Yeah, I still need to watch that. After VHS 99, I'm more inclined.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it was in my list already, but like nothing about it was screaming that I wanted to watch it. I'm very vibe focused. It didn't seem very vibey.
Yeah, it's not it's not super vibey, but it's Vanessa and Joseph Winter who directed the To Hell and Back segment of VHS 99. And I'll give you the one sentence pitch is it's found footage Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it's a ride. And I fucking love it. I am likely going to be watching that tonight on Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll probably
watch
it.
That, you know, behind the curtain, we're before Halloween. I'll probably watch that this weekend sometime.
Yeah.
It gave me a similar feeling as Host from 2020 in that it was kind of a, wow, somebody doing something a little different genre-wise with the found footage format, and I was genuinely surprised by it.
I have to mention that I watched Unfriended Dark Web. Have you watched Unfriended Dark Web?
I saw Unfriended Dark Web in the theater.
Yeah, I did too.
I saw the first
unfriended, like in the projection booth of a theater, which was a great experience. Yeah. But then I just watched Unfriended Dark Web for the first time, and that movie fucking rules. Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah. Have you seen Host? Yeah.
I've seen Host. Yeah. I liked Host. I didn't like it as much as Unfriended, but I did like it.
I don't know if there's anything left on the list that I would recommend. I mean, I didn't hate Black Phone.
I was going to say, I think Black Phone is good. I like the Black Phone.
I fucking hated that movie so much.
I don't get what people hated.
I don't find it hateable at all.
Pretty straightforward kind of slasher thing. I know they didn't explain a lot, but how are you going to explain it?
I just found it very Stephen Kingy, like a lot of Scott Derrickson.
That's my issue. Well, it's because it's also based on a Joe Hill story, and Joe Hill can't stop doing his dad's shtick, and it's like the visual references.
He does a different spin on it, but it's true. I definitely agree with you.
I will say there's a lot of Joe Hill stuff that I really adore.
Yeah,
I love the Lock and Key comic series. I love...
I like Nosferatu and The Fireman.
I love both Nosferatu.
Nosferatu's great.
Yeah, Nosferatu.
Nosferatu. And have either of you read The Fireman? Because The Fireman's good.
I thought it was okay.
I like The Fireman a lot. I haven't read it in years, he definitely is doing a... Not millennial, because he's not a millennial, but, you know, that kind of thing version of his dad, which is fine.
Well, I just wish the problem I have with it is that it's always like, okay, here's the thing. It's okay, we got a psychic girl. Okay, we got a child abduction thing. Okay, we got a alcoholic parent thing. And it's like, it always stops there, and he never says, okay, but what's the thing behind that? Like, what's the next? Or like, oh, what's a guy in a van with creepy balloons and a mask? And it's just like, we've seen it. We've seen all of this. Like, try to just think past your first instinct to something that's maybe different. And that's the issue I have with it, because it's, you're right, it's very paint by numbers, and if that's what you want, it's not bad.
I just think it works is the thing. Like, the problem, like, I understand what you're saying, and I totally, like, I find these flaws. Like, I don't think it's a perfect horror movie by any means.
But it doesn't ruin it for you the way it does for me.
It doesn't ruin it for me at all. I haven't rewatched it since theaters, but it fucking works is what I'm saying. Like, mechanically, it works.
I like
because
Scott.
A guy, a full-grown adult in the row behind me in the theater fully screamed at one moment. That is an objective sign of a film working on that.
For that guy.
But it was an entire theater thing. Like, it was just... I just mean, like, I'm not even saying this is a mark of it. Again, I'm not saying it's the best horror movie. I'm just saying, if you want something that's going to fucking scare you, if you are a normal, you know, horror-watching person, I think you'll get a jump out of the Black Phone.
Maybe I'm too jaded. I don't like the writing. I don't think Robert Cargill's a good writer. I think his dialogue's trash. I like Derrickson I like Derrickson's aesthetic. I like his visual style as a filmmaker. But it doesn't. I just don't think it fits here. And Ethan Hawke's performance. I'm sorry to do this.
Oh,
but
I love
it's
Ethan Hawke.
Fucking offensive.
Oh,
it's fucking offensive.
Why?
It is
fucking
offensive.
Why is it offensive? It is homophobic,
it's
and it is queer coded.
It's not
aiding to a moral panic that's at work in this country
homophobic.
Right now.
Homophobic. He's murdering.
That's incredibly irresponsible.
He's murdering children, Andy. Him being homophobic breaks it for you.
No. It's the idea that the two things are linked. The characters.
Right. I don't agree with that, though. I don't think that's happening in the film. I understand.
Not,
I guess
I'm
I understand what you're saying.
I'm not the only one with that read, is what I'll say.
Okay, that's fine. I just that's a read, and I did not come away from the film with that. And I'm inclined to notice things like that. I'm not saying it's not there if it hits you, but I did not find that an offensive performance.
As someone who was a kid in the 80s during the satanic panic and the, you know, the moral panic surrounding, you know, child abduction.
Go
what
on.
That means I know that I'm talking. Yeah, I know that but that's how it felt to me. That's how it hit me, is that it was playing into these tropes that are familiar for the reasons of, you know, conservative agendas.
Sure.
Yeah, I didn't get any of that.
I mean, I just
and
disagree.
I also grew up during,
but that's fine. I just didn't get that from it.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, I mean,
that's all I can say is that I did not get that on. I liked Ethan Hawke's performance. I'm just a slut for Hawke.
I also love Ethan Hawke. I just
and
hated
it's also
him
got
this.
Jeremy Davies in it too, which I love.
Look, Jeremy Davies is my favorite thing in the movie. When he popped up, I was like, "Yep, all right."
I really hope that he got beat the fuck up by his kid at the end of the movie.
It was not Jeremy Davies. It was not him that I confused. James Ransone. When he popped up, I was like, "Oh, I'm in. I like this." Yeah,
I love James Ransone. James Ransone also gives a great performance in that movie.
Yeah,
I mean, like I don't agree with the homophobic thing, but I do. I agree with a lot of your critiques about the actual like meat of the film. Fair. It just doesn't bother me. I also grew up
during the Satanic Panic. Like I'm older than you are. Like I was like super cognizant during the Satanic Panic, and I didn't get any of those vibes from it.
Yeah.
Because I also look for satanic panic shit.
But this is the great thing about
film, isn't it? Seeing it in movies also turns me off. But this just felt like a really straightforward slasher movie to me.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I was in a bad mood when I saw it. That
it might have been. And maybe I was just, you know, swayed by a very enthusiastic audience. Who knows? But I mean, these are all the things that can influence our...
Yeah.
Opinions. I don't think Crimes of the Future is technically a horror movie, but it is out on VOD right now.
I think it counts, but I liked it.
Great movie.
I liked it.
I haven't seen that.
I'm just looking through my list right now.
Speaking of problematic shit, I like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, so who the fuck am I to talk?
I don't dislike that movie because it's problematic, but I just thought it was shit.
Yeah, I just thought it was a terrible fucking movie.
I thought it was so much fun. I thought it was. I mean, they got Sally Hardesty all wrong, but
what was supposed to be problematic about that?
Oh, everybody thinks it's a Republican movie because there's a Confederate flag thing. And
I mean,
there's
I definitely get it
stuff, and but it's like to me, it's like this movie is just trying to throw literally every hashtag into it. Then
yeah. And I didn't like it.
The only thing I liked about that movie was the ending.
I hated the ending.
I mean,
the literal last scene. Like,
I know.
Not...
I hated that.
I don't know why. I've seen it 3 times now, and I've had a good time with it every time.
That's great.
It's literally
it might be my lowest rated horror film.
Wow,
I'm looking now.
Yeah, I hate it.
It's either that or it's tied with Imminence. Did either of you watch Imminence?
No, I was not interested.
I was, but it's like actually Christian. I thought it was just going to be like using Christian ideas as like for horror, but it's just like a Christian movie. It was not good. So yeah.
What I'll say about Texas Chainsaw Massacre is that it's the only movie called Texas Chainsaw Massacre that has an actual Texas Chainsaw Massacre in it. Although it was shot in Bulgaria, so I guess technically it's a Bulgarian Chainsaw Massacre.
Okay, yeah, it was shot on the Wild West extravaganza set. Like, this fucking fake-ass town. I did want to... How about... Can we shout out Scream? We haven't shouted out Scream. That came
did
out
you like Scream?
I love Scream.
I didn't like Scream.
You didn't like Scream?
Yeah.
No, I thought
do you just hate fun? Yeah. Like, is...
That movie
no,
seemed like it hated
Texas
fun.
Chainsaw Massacre was fun.
I thought Scream hated fun.
Yeah.
No, it was a blast. I really enjoyed it.
I thought it was... I liked things about it, and I really love those filmmakers. The Radio Silence fellas are great. They did one of my favorite segments in the VHS series.
Yeah.
But I just... I think it's the writing in Scream. I wasn't a fan of.
I liked it. I thought it was funny. I really enjoyed the jokes and I liked the characters a lot. And I love David Arquette. I just love David Arquette so much. He was so good.
Yeah, I love David Arquette. That's why I didn't like Scream.
Aw, boo. He's great in it. He's fun.
I don't want to get into it because this movie came out in fucking like January. So
it came out in January. I don't give a shit.
Bad spoiling.
Like it's good. And anybody who likes Scream, it doesn't matter what the twist is. Like you know, if you like a Scream movie, you know that there's going to be a twist about who the fucking killers are.
Well,
and shit.
This isn't like, about who the killer is. This is about like a legacy character and their fate.
Yeah.
And I just think that what they did with it was
really cool,
lazily written. And lazily written.
I didn't agree with, I don't agree with that. It I don't think nothing. It was lazy. It I don't think anything nothing. About it was lazy.
It bought nothing. It was not earned. I thought the sequence was a good setup, but then the payoff was just like, why? You didn't think about this when you wrote it down.
I don't think that's true, but I liked it.
That's fine.
So what can I say?
I love this. I love we can both smile and be like, no.
Hey, speaking of that, I was just going to ask, did anyone see Smile?
Oh. I did see Smile.
Yeah, I saw I Smile. Too. I liked Smile.
I thought it was fine.
It was fine.
It's like a greatest hits of horror of the last 10 years.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
They're doing it's a very specific subgenre of horror where it's like the curse thing.
It follows.
Like, it's that's the problem is when you're doing that kind of a premise, you have to be very specific with the rules and the imagery and what the motifs are. And this film plays it all very vague. So it comes across feeling like The Ring or It Follows or a dozen other movies
like
that
a
were inspired
things.
By M.R. James casting of the runes and Night of the Demon. And it's just like, it's like a soup of that stuff. But I will say there's a thing that happens at the end where I was like, oh, this fucking rips. Where was this the whole movie?
Yeah.
Are you talking about like the thing at the end? I guess it was fine. I just can't muster a strong feeling about that movie one way or the other.
Yeah.
Nothing like it just washed over me.
Yeah.
It did not affect me. It was like fucking those like neutrinos or whatever that like, you know, pass through you every day and you don't even know.
I mean, anyway, it washed over me too, but in a way that was like, man, this could have not just washed over me. Like this could have very easily been,
it could have been
more,
good.
But
it could have been better.
Yeah. I didn't have a bad time watching it.
No, and I did not realize that was Kevin Bacon's daughter the entire time I was watching it. That was crazy. I was just kept being like this. She looks like somebody, and then it's
Wow. Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I looked it up. And she wears a lot of really nice sweaters. That was my main takeaway from that. And also, none of us, neither of you, I didn't submit a list because basically everything was on the two lists that you guys put in the emails. But neither of you listed Men, which I rank about as well as Smile. I did not love.
See it. I wasn't interested.
I tried to watch it twice and I fell asleep both times and just was not interested enough to go back.
There's a thing that I think both of you would like in it.
Oh yeah,
that happens. Like it goes to I'm not saying it doesn't work, you know, but like there. If you like the ending of Smile, there's a thing similar, like a similarly shocking thing happens at the end of, like not even at the end, like three quarters of the way through Men. And I did not like Men very much, but I didn't hate it, which it seemed like a lot of people like hated it.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I thought it was good. Like, my main takeaway was she wore a lot of really great sweaters. Like it's like a really nice, like there's a scene where she just like walks through the woods in autumn, like at the very beginning. And I'm like, the movie never really tops that. It's just such a nice little scene.
I mean, that's a vibe. That's a vibe.
This is what I'm saying.
Into that. Yeah.
Well, it's like totally that. Vibes. But then like it has a plot too. And I'm like, okay, whatever. just let me see her walk through the forest some more.
Was The Innocence a 2022 movie?
I don't think so. I watched it in 2022, but it's not on my list because I think it came out in 2021.
I feel like it might be initially.
But
I did like
The Innocence quite a bit. I mean, people listening might not have seen it. I highly recommend. Did you see The Innocence, Andy?
No, I didn't, but it's like, that title's covered. Find a different title. Like, this is my feeling about
The Innocence. It's Norwegian.
I didn't see The Invitation either for that reason.
Well, but yeah, I mean, that one is more egregious because that is a English language film.
Yeah.
I saw The Invitation. It was not good.
The Innocence is Norwegian. So,
okay, well, then it's allowed, I guess. Yeah.
They're allowed. It's good. Creepy kids.
Look, I love a scary kids movie, so I will watch it.
It's a creepy kids get superpowers movie.
Yeah.
And like, how fucked up it would be for a real child to have, like, superpowers.
That's the thing that turned me off, was the superpowers thing.
No, but it's good, though. It's good.
Is it better than Brightburn? Because...
Oh, yes. Yes.
Brightburn sucks. I really hated Brightburn. Okay, good.
Yeah, Brightburn sucks because it's specifically Superman, and also it doesn't even let him be bad. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
no, these are realistically fucked up kids. Like, okay. They have, like, fucked up... like sociopathic kid brains. And like, it's a very realistic portrayal of children.
And since we did just spend a couple minutes on a foreign horror film that in fact did not come out this year, I never miss an opportunity to plug Terrified, which is
an Argentinian
film, which you can sometimes called Aterrados.
You're looking for a scary fucking movie to watch on Halloween night, watch Aterrados.
And the reason
is scary as shit.
The reason that was on the tip of my tongue is we just talked about Smile. Mm-hmm. And Tom Ryman on a recent podcast reminded me there's a scene in Smile that is just straight up stolen from Aterrados.
Oh, the window scene.
Yeah, where the woman walks up to the car window and then fucking bends down. That is lifted.
It's in the trailer, so that's not a spoiler.
That's in that. It's in the trailer in Smile, and that's fucking lifted directly from Aterrados.
It is. I did not think about that. Yeah, Aterrados fucking rules. It's so one of my favorite horror movies of the last.
It's really good.
Decade.
Yeah,
yeah. I agree with that entirely.
Yeah,
yeah.
Scary as fuck the first time you watch it.
Scary, well crafted. Like there's not a missing note.
No, and like lots of special, like CGI special effects, which would usually be a game changer. Like say I would be out, but
they're so
works.
Good.
Like
it works.
They're creepy.
It works.
Like it's fucking scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's the consensus of this podcast. Best horror movie of 2022, Aterrados.
Hell yeah.
From 2016 or whatever.
Yeah.
Go watch that tonight. It is on Shudder.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, speaking of foreign movies that are, I think, genuinely scary. More or less. Incantation from Taiwan.
I've heard good things, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But I've heard really good things about it.
That's on my list.
Yeah. It's a found footage Taiwanese horror movie.
It's so long. Isn't it like 2.5 hours?
Is it? You might be thinking of... Because that's my complaint about the wailing. Anytime the wailing shows up on somebody's best...
I like the wailing, but I agree with you about the wailing.
I like
it's obviously too long.
I like it
but
a lot.
But I love
it
that movie.
It can
I like
lose
it.
40 minutes without a problem.
But again,
really good.
And I've talked about vibe this episode. Like, it has such a vibe, and you are just in it for so long that kind of I forgive. Yeah. It's like,
so Incantation is actually just a little under 2 hours. It's 150.
Okay,
yeah,
that's not bad.
I would say that's still
It's like
that's why
it.
I haven't watched it yet is because a longer horror movie always kind of puts me off.
That's literally why I didn't go see Terrifier 2 in the theater, because
I'm not going to watch
Art the Clown for 2.5 hours in a theater, you guys.
Yeah, I have no interest in Terrifier whatsoever.
Who put Orphan First Kill on their list?
Oh, that was Andy.
Does that
need to watch Orphan?
Does that girl really have that condition? Because it seems like the first Orphan movie came out 25 years ago. And she's still 11.
Yeah. Well, she was like 30 in the first Orphan movie.
Yeah. And this is a prequel.
Yeah.
But no, she wasn't. Like,
was it actually good or is it just like silly good?
It's silly. It's like, you know, it's a killer kid movie, you know,
but not really
a killer kid movie. Yeah. But I had a good time with it. I didn't love it, but it does some really interesting things. And like a lot of the movies we're talking about on this list, there's a moment in it where you're just like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
I mean, there was a moment in the first movie where I was like that.
Yeah, and they somehow managed to do that.
At least...
Oh, it's not a girl.
Managed to pull that off in this movie, too, and it's great.
Well, I mean, it's got to be way easier to pull off now that girl is probably pushing 40 now. That first Orphan movie came out a long time ago.
It did. It came out in like 2012, yeah. Right?
Like, how dare they make this a prequel?
Also, I think that's why it's on my list.
Audacious.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's audacious, because it's ambitious, because it's like, yeah, we're going to make...
I'm for that. I have no problem with that whatsoever.
That is not ambitious.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It kind of is. I didn't say ambitious, I said audacious.
I said ambitious because it's okay. Like, let's face it, it's ambitious to be audacious.
It's ambitious to say, hey, I know it's been 10 years, but here's another Orphan movie.
Yeah, are you going to buy this?
Do you want it?
You're really on any subscription.
You already know the twist, and we're going to set this movie after. Or, I mean, before, but it's after. How are we doing this? This is insane. This is one of those things this is an idea someone had, like, on a Coke bender at 4 a.m., and it's like, fuck yeah, do it.
I need to rewatch. I think I watched Orphan, but I can't remember it at all. So yeah. I need to rewatch it before I watch Orphan First Kill. That's the only reason I haven't watched it.
But yeah. Olivia, Orphan First Kill is a prequel. So to watch it in chronological order.
That's not how I like to watch my movies so that I do rewatches. I like chronological order because then I get to watch the filmmaking change.
But which chronological are we talking?
I'm talking about narrative diegetic chronology.
Okay, that's fine. I appreciate that and respect it.
I'm kidding. All right, the movie's not even that wild. It's just like it's fine, and then it has one wild reveal.
I mean, sure, and that's good. That's all you need.
Yeah,
if you are like a person who watches every horror movie, which I think most of us, we're at least all three of us watch most horror movies.
Yeah,
like that's what you kind of want. If it's not a good movie, you need it to have at least one moment where you're like, oh, well, that's. That's something. I'll take that.
Yeah.
So I think we made it to the end, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I think we have given people plenty to choose from.
I have not yet gotten to talk about Bring It On, Cheer or Die.
Yeah.
I never had even heard of this.
I knew this was a thing.
It's not great.
I didn't. Like, don't no mess way. With the Bring It On franchise like that. Bring It On is a perfectly good movie.
Is it literally just a Bring It On movie where one team then murders the other team?
It's just the Bring It On name, but it's a slasher movie. Like, it's a slasher movie about cheerleaders.
Oh, fuck that.
Yeah.
I would, like, if it was literally the first Bring It On movie, the exact plot, but instead of just sabotage and cheating, it was murder, I would watch that. In a heartbeat.
There's a rival cheerleading team, but they're kind of like a non-thing.
Fuck.
That's just late. Talk about lazy. That is a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a missed opportunity in a number of ways.
So I think Bring It On, Cheer or Die seems like a good place to stop. Thank you both. I hope you both get all the candy you want tonight when you're out.
Thank you.
Trick
I'm
going to
just eat a big bowl of candy corn.
Oh, don't be gross. You have too much class to eat candy corn? Is that what you mean?
No, I just have to be at a class on Halloween night.
Mm.
I have to go to school on Halloween night.
Who's doing school on Halloween night? Unless it's ghoul school, which you should listen to.
Oh, hey.
What are you doing for school on Halloween night?
Circuit analysis.
Who's your professor, the Grinch?
Yeah, yes, it is, basically.
Andy, would you like
He's
to
He's an
finish?
Old guy. I mean, it's community college. They don't take fucking Halloween off.
Yeah, no one's taking Halloween off.
This is elementary school.
Andy, would you like to finish your plugs, please?
I used to ditch high school on Halloween. sorry, yes, by plugs. Ghoul School, we covered that. There's a new we revealed. Good Lord.
We released
two episodes this month. One of them is the Halloween special where I talk to my friend Rob Walker about Halloween specials. And there's more coming. There's Look Good for the Boys. We just wrapped up a Hot or Not Alive ranking of the victims of the Halloween franchise.
Mm.
Including
Annie's
Halloween
at the top.
Ends.
Annie's at the top, right?
Annie is at the top. But which Annie is at the top? You'll have to listen to find out.
Halloween 1, Annie?
I I can't pick. I love both Annies. She's for me, Halloween babe. 1 Annie is the best. Yeah.
She's in her 20s in that movie. It's fun.
Yeah, it's fine. Was that it for plugs? Oh, you don't even like this band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fleetwood Mac it. Season happening right now on the Unpops Patreon and Supercast. Olivia, do you have anything to plug?
I mean, yeah, we do Going Back on the old Conspiracy the Pod Patreon.
Hell yeah.
Going Back, our Lost Rewatch podcast. It's fun. We're having a good time so far.
I am genuinely enjoying rewatching
yeah.
Lost. It holds up. Still a good show. Andy, don't great say show. A word. Not yeah. a word out of you.
Not allowed.
Zip that
only
stash.
Positivity about Lost in this house.
Listen to that. Listen to Conspiracy the Show, which me and Olivia co-host on the Unpops Network.
Also
and also adamtoddbrown.substack.com. Go read my writings. And I think that's it, right?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Andy, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Olivia, say goodbye.
Bye.
You were supposed to do it spooky.
Yeah, I thought it was funnier to swerve and everybody laughed, so I was right.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you, but in a very spooky way.